Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Someone that we always appreciate her facts and everything she has on the Browns is Mary Kay Cabot, and she's from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. And, of course, she's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Mary Kay. Hi, how Mary are Kay. You?
I'm fine, guys. How you doing?
We're good. Yeah. So OBJ has a very interesting Instagram. Is it a tweet on Instagram or it's just a post? It's just a straight post. So he has this post this morning where he puts up a picture of nothing. And then they sit here and then he says all the stuff about I just need to go dark for a little bit and I'm not going to worry about it. And then, boom, he takes it down. Are we reading into this or just forget about it? What do you think, Mary Kay?
Well, I think it was interesting, and I think it goes along with, and I wrote about this the day after the trade when the Browns put out the quotes about Odell. I think it's interesting. I think it's something to watch. I think that he is expressing himself, and I think basically, he's, showing people a little glimpse into his mindset right now, and I'm sure it's jarring to get traded. It has to be emotional to have to leave the city that you've been in for the past, 5 years or however long he's been there. And he's, developed friendships and all those kinds of things. I'm sure he's really close with a lot of guys on the team. He has his life there. It has to be difficult. I mean, we sometimes, I think, tend to forget, that these are people with feelings. And I think he's just, we're just seeing some of that. Now they have platforms to be able to express their feelings. And I think that was some of that. And then, he must have realized or felt that maybe he went a little bit too far and just didn't even want to deal with the backlash from that or the fallout that he may have been getting or whatever, or the questions. And so he took it down. But I do think it's something to keep an eye on.
Mary Kay, would you suggest he gets to town as quick as he can and gets settled in here?
I do. I think that once he gets here, once he starts, hanging out with Jarvis a little bit and Baker and gets excited and sees, what it's all about here, I think that, I think some of those feelings that he's probably having right now will probably dissipate. And again, maybe I'm reading into it too much, but it does seem to me like he's just having some emotions about this big upheaval in his life, like anyone would. But I think once he does get here, he'll be fine. I just think it's, it's just the process of this big change.
Mary Kay, as we start to let the dust settle a little bit on, free agency and the trade deadline and get ready for the draft, there's one question that just keeps coming back in my mind. While I really, really am excited about what we're going to see on the field, and I feel like, that this team is worthy of the at least on paper, is worthy of what the accolades are getting nationally. I'm still concerned, and it has nothing to do with Freddie Kitchens, the person. It has everything to do with first-year head coach in the NFL and the concerns that come along with that. What do you think is going to hit Freddie once he starts actually coaching this team, and what pitfalls and what things that you think he needs to look out for?
Well, there's a learning curve when you're a first-time head coach, so he's going to experience a lot of that. I mean, he has an entirely new staff. He's trying to manage all the personalities and the information and the schemes there. And then they have a lot of new players on the team and a lot of strong personalities on the team. So I think it's just the thing that all new head coaches go through, and it's just the avalanche of things that are on their plate every day. I mean, he's going from really being able to focus on the offense and get it to where he wanted it to be last year to now he's going to be pulled in 25 different directions all in the course of 2 hours in an afternoon when he's, trying to get something done. So I think every head coach goes through that, but I think they have assembled a really good coaching staff, a really, really good staff with people on it that have been head coaches in terms of Steve Wilkes, people that have, been good, strong coordinators, James Campen, who's the offensive line coach and associate head coach who will take a lot off of his plate, who's been around for a long time. So I think they set him up with a good support system, but it's still going to be a huge learning curve.
Mary Kay, do you think there's concern then, based on what you just said, that he'll be calling his own plays, which all offensive-minded coaches want to do, but do you think there's too much around him that might be a problem?
Well, I think he should start out doing it and see how it goes. And if he finds that it is too much, then he can take something off of his plate and give that over to Todd Monken. But I think he wants to try to do it. It's what got him the job in the first place. And other successful head coaches have done that as well. They've called their own plays. So it's doable, but he's going to have to figure out if it's going to work for him. And, you know, he can delegate other things to some of those guys if he wants to continue to call the plays, but he's not going to be able to do every single thing he probably thinks he can.
Mary Kay, what do you think is the most important turning point outside of drafting Baker Mayfield? And I say this based on the thought of Jimmy Haslam at the point where he said to John Dorsey, look, we can fire or you can let Hugh Jackson go. I think that was a monumental moment for the organization because I mean, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. I do not think that Jimmy Haslam wanted to fire Hugh Jackson. And I look back at that moment as I think this is really when things became John Dorsey's. Do you see it that way, or am I making it bigger than it actually is?
Well, I think the turning point in the organization came when he hired John Dorsey.
Okay.
That's when it all happened. I mean, John has come in here and completely overhauled this roster, transformed this football team, drafted Baker Mayfield, which if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything, and just really completely changed everything in this town. And changed the culture and everything. So I would say that was the biggest turning point. And then the next one, of course, was him drafting Baker. But you know, without John, I don't know if you have Baker.
Don't you think it was all set up that way to have Hugh Jackson still hang around and then get rid of him at that point? Don't you think that was the original plan anyway?
At some point, yes. At some point, they were going to do that. Whether it was going to be at the end of the year. Or at some point during the year, but it just seems like I don't think any of us ever really thought that that John Dorsey was going to keep Hugh Jackson for very long.
The other thing that came into play, I think, over the last week is I knew you had wrote about it or you had talked about it, and I saw some stuff before it happened. But do you buy the whole Odell Beckham Jr. thing went down last Tuesday, like at the last minute? Like I have a lot of trouble digesting that.
Well, first of all. The phone call was first made to ask for Odell Beckham Jr. That happened on Monday.
Okay.
So that happened on Monday, and I've written that in a couple of places.
Sure.
This didn't all just happen on Tuesday. Now, when Dave Gettleman in his press conference said yesterday that he said in the initial call on Tuesday we finalized it, well, he didn't mean the trade was initiated on Tuesday and we finalized it in the same call. I mean, that didn't happen.
Right.
So that, you know, the way that was uttered, you know, isn't really exactly how this all went down. The first phone call to say, okay, we want to do this, happened on Monday. And then they went over the course of Monday and Tuesday till it ultimately happened on Tuesday evening. But certainly no. I mean, the groundwork, and I tried to lay this out in an insider thing, the groundwork was laid for this way back last year when you first started hearing rumblings that OBJ could be available. That's back when John Dorsey first started to consider the possibilities as time went on. And then you just continue to have conversations and you continue to talk about it. And by the time they got to that point, I mean, he had five different trade scenarios ready to go. I mean, you don't come up with those on Tuesday. No, certainly not. I mean, they had been planning for the possibility of this since December. The minute the season ended, they started hammering out trade possibilities and knew that Odell, you know, was disgruntled and knew that, you know, things weren't going well with him in New York. And they were ready for this. They were well prepared for this.
When the deal was made, was Freddie Kitchens involved in it, or was he told this is the way it's going to be? Because Dorsey has to have a lot of faith in the coach to be able to handle the situation.
Oh, I'm sure he was involved, you know, to some degree or had some inkling of it. But I will say this, John Dorsey knows how to keep things really close to the vest. He's got a very, very few trusted people around him, and he does not let on what he's doing. He knows how to do that. He knows how to go dark and get into a room and not let on what is happening. So I wouldn't be too surprised if Freddie Kitchens, you know, wasn't apprised of every single thing along the way. I don't think that's how John Dorsey operates.
The best you've ever covered at doing that?
Oh, he's pretty good at it. He may be the best at it, yeah, I would have to say, yes.
All right, what's next on the list? How does this change the philosophy? Obviously, you don't have a first-round draft pick, but how does this change the philosophy for the draft? And could you see the Browns trying to get back into the first round or trying to make some kind of move to be active, especially that first night of the NFL draft?
I mean, they could if something falls, but I don't think they feel pressured to do that. I think they feel pretty good with what they have right now. I think they feel like they got their first-round pick in Odell. And I think that they can let the draft fall to them. They added some other pieces. They took care of the defensive line. And now they can just add other things that they need, not just what they need, but they can add the best available player as the draft falls to them. So I don't think that they'll be clamoring to get back up into the first round. In fact, one personnel executive told me that that they don't really see a true first-rounder after number 15. And if the Browns, I'm sure if the Browns felt that way, that's why they happily made this trade. So, no, I don't think that they'll be fighting their way back into the first round. They'll see how it falls.
Mary Kay, last question. If you're one of the guys on this team who was on this team before, was brought in under Sashi, how confident should you feel going into next season that you're going to be on the roster?
Well, they're having no trouble clearing out the Sashi guys. So, you know, they're going to be very, very committed to their own people. And John and his team, they like certain kinds of players, and they like the guys that they brought in. So I think there are certain other guys that you'll see that could be moved or otherwise not be on this roster, like Emmanuel Ogba and some of those kind of guys. I think that there are very, very few people that were drafted by Sashi Brown that that John Dorsey will be committed to over the next few years.
Schobert, Kirksey, should those guys be worried?
I don't want to say worried. I mean, I think that some of those guys fall into the class of the small group of players that are good enough to stick around. I don't necessarily think those guys have to be worried, but I do think that, and Kirksey wasn't a Sashi pick, but
right.
Yeah, I think there's a handful. There's 6-7 guys that probably don't have to be too worried, but most of the other guys, like I said, they're just not, they don't have an allegiance to those guys.
Yeah, I would just say that if you were in their family, those guys are probably saying to their family, well, it's a business. You got to remember that as you head into the season. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I just look at the guys that weren't here under Dorsey, and I wonder if they're going to be around or not. That's all.
Well, if you look at the last two drafts and start scratching off the people and see what he's already done so far, it's just not a long list that's left anymore. So,
sure.
You know, I don't have those things in front of me, but I was looking at it yesterday, and there are just not a ton of guys left from those two drafts. And the ones that are left are guys that have the potential to really do something good in this offensive defense. But, again, it's just not a big group.
All right, Mary Kay, thank you. I hope you're getting a little bit of a vacation normally from having
she's going. She's going dark.
You're going dark, yes. Make sure that you don't let us know anything about the Browns' first-round draft pick, and then you'll be good.
Actually, heading off to the NFL annual meeting.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So, yeah, there'll be some good stuff. We'll talk to the Haslams there, and we'll talk to John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchen. So hopefully we'll be able to generate some good stuff.
And what day are you leaving?
Saturday and coming home Tuesday.
All right, so we'll be looking for you in the plaindealerincleveland.com for all your stuff from the owners' meetings. Thank you, Mary Kay.
Thanks,
appreciate
Mary
it.
Kay.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer, always nice enough to join us on Tuesday at 11 o'clock.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.